you know, it was interesting to watch it, to track it along as I was going, and it did look like it almost was going to land in Loudoun, but you know, downtown D.C., I wasn't able to pick up the packets once it got down below a few thousand feet. I wasn't sure it was going to end up in the Potomac or not.
Yeah, good evening, and hope everybody enjoyed today, at least those participating. I know I did. I will echo one of John's comments. It was chilly up on the top of Bull Run Mountain also. I should have had one additional jacket with me or something there, but we got by. And things went well today, and I'm glad everything worked out. Had a good time, enjoyed it, and we got the payload back, which is always a good thing to do. Did take a little while, I guess, and John and Dave could probably speak more to this than myself, but it landed on private property, and it no one was home, so the owners finally came home, and they were able to talk to them and get permission. But anyway, everything did work out in the end, and things went well. Quick thing for Earl, you can check.
Okay, real fine, Danny. Thanks for the update. Sounds like everybody had a good time. Oh, let's see if Tom is back. WB3AKD, this is AI1V. Are you back, guys? So your comments, please.
Radio's staying up this time. Had a intermittent connection. Had to tighten up there on the power lead. Radio would turn off whenever I keyed, which is annoying. As for the balloon launch, well, it was a beautiful day for one thing. We launched from Harrisonburg, Virginia, Purcell Park down there. We filled the balloon and hooked up the flight train and launched it all from the parking lot, which was sparsely populated with cars, fortunately. That all went off without a hitch. We had a couple students from Shepherd University there, and so we took a little extra time, and we're a little late getting off the ground, but it certainly increased the value of the launch for those participants. We had Gene May, whose call sign escapes me, Jim K4FW, Chris KD8MEZ, two Shepherd students whose names escape me at the moment. I'll get those for publication later. Suzanne and myself on the launch team, which was a good number for getting everything off the ground. We had two payloads, the highly impaired but basically functional payload, which just beaconed. Used to be hot chips. I don't know how hot it was this time, since basically there weren't any scent on board or telemetry coming down, unfortunately, due to an unfortunate catastrophic event involving the death of both the processor on the circuit board and the bootloader. So sort of investigating whether I have any bootloaders left on any of the other boards. I should, but at the moment don't quite know what I've got handy. This, of course, was discovered Saturday, so it was a bit of a panic to make sure we had that one payload to track. Mike's payload, KD4KGB, the rocket altimeter payload, worked flawlessly. We packaged that up, and actually packaged that up over at Shepherd with the Near Space team there, and assembled most of the flight train there as a training exercise. So that went well Thursday. And so we launched at 9:32 with a 1,500-gram balloon and the two payloads. The launch was very smooth, the weather was beautiful, and we could still see the balloon when it passed 11,000 feet. Jetstream predictions were pretty accurate, because once it got up to about 40,000 feet, it started heading for heading north northeast at about 100 miles an hour. So that was interesting. The ascent rate based on organizing the trackers and keeping everybody apprised of what was going on while I was up to my eyeballs in wires, batteries, and sadly, smoke. And but anyway, all's well that ends well. I guess we're all very beautiful day, great flight. Looking forward to do it again. Thanks to everybody who participated, and especially Denny and Jay for leading those efforts. WB3AKD, that's about more, no doubt more than you wanted to hear from the mountain.
Okay, very good. Very good, Tom. Real quick question. And so I take it the altitude beacon on the APRS was in meters and not in feet.
Yeah, that's correct. We were at about 300, actually about 390 meters out there in Harrisonburg. So that's about, 1,300 feet or so. And it was clearly going in meters. It worked well. I was happy to have that information and have that much knowledge about the flight. Over.
Okay, real fine. Another quick, how about the velocity? You know, the units from that one?
Well, actually, now I'm not sure. We'll have to check with Mike and see. Over.
Okay, yeah, because when I was copying it today, and I'm looking at the records that got recorded by my software today, both the altitude and velocity were lower than I thought, so. Meters make sense for the altitude. I'm not quite sure what the velocity would be. Okay, very good. Nicely done. Congratulations to all. Sounds like a very very successful day all the way around. Let's see. Steve, you're next. KS1G. This is AI1B with the group. Your comments.
AI1V in the group. KS1G. Yeah, I had fun this morning trying to monitor the copying it within a couple of minutes after the launch, but I basically needed at least one more antenna and maybe another computer than I had here, so I ended up trying to monitor the net and copy packets. And for some strange reason, UIView and my Cantronics never successfully decoded a single packet. Fortunately, I finally realized that I had an APRS decoder in my VX8 and hooked that up to a Arrow antenna on a tripod, and so I could run outside, and that worked great. Unfortunately, I had no way of logging anything, so it was kind of looking at stuff and periodically running downstairs and plotting the last lat long to see where it was winding up, but it was certainly an impressive performance. I'm thinking that the altitude was also in meters because basically nothing else made any sense. Especially shortly before touchdown, it was coming in at like 60 over S9, basically pinning the S meter on both the hot chips beacon and the APRS one. So a lot of fun, and hopefully the next time I'll be in better shape to contribute and at least log something. So AI1V in the net, KS1G.
Very good, Steve. Sounds like you had fun. I know it's really cool. Cool the first time I heard a balloon and started tracking it. Yeah, I left some software arm to kind of pick it up and then follow it until it went dormant for a while. I logged 215 packets total. And the first one was at an altitude of 4,807 meters, I'm assuming. And the last at 538 meters, which makes sense since it was probably a lot closer. So anyway, I'll try to get that data boiled down and see what it looks like on the plot. I'm sure others will as well. Dave, good evening to you. Nice to be on. This is AI1V with the group. Your comments.
AI1V, KE4S, wait one. Okay. We had a great time, as John said. Chris. Denny released us a little early from that site so that we could get started headed back south. Turns out after we left the site is when the bird dropped below about 10 or 15,000 feet, and that's when it started taking off and going east. Not the first time we've seen that kind of behavior. The last couple of balloon launches, if I remember correctly, as it's coming down, we found that it hits the surface winds when there are any at all or in the area, and takes off and traffic going eastbound. So that's something we need to learn to watch for. Change the subject, I guess. CQ Worldwide sideband was this weekend, and there were nice 10 and 15 meter openings to the Oceania area yesterday. So I added in some new islands and countries, Thailand and Tanzania, things like that, to my log. Great fun. It's been a busy radio weekend. Back to you, Rick, KE4S.
Okay, Dave, yeah, it sounded like you were all over the radios this weekend. We were, I first picked it up directly in the PRS tracker and headed down Spout Run to the Potomac, and I was still picking up the payload, so that was running some power. Yeah, I'm trying to look at the standards for units on APRS and see what's going on there. Okay, let's see. Ken, you are next up. KJ4GYL, this is AI1B. Your comment.
Not much to report tonight. Just wanted to check in, listen to everybody.
The payload first. That was a lot of fun. We had a good time, and I appreciate everybody's help making that project go. It was something that I look forward to doing again. I'd like to get a camera and a video camera on that payload next time it goes up. This is WD5ODJ.
Real fine, John. WD5ODJ, AI1Z. Yeah, I'm just kind of scrolling through the data I got here. And it looks like the highest altitude I saw was a little over 29,000 feet. So that's, it was interesting to watch it, to track it along as I was going, and it did look like it almost was going to land in Loudoun, but, downtown D.C., I wasn't able to pick up the packets once it got down below a few thousand feet. I wasn't sure it was going to end up in the Potomac or not.
Yeah, good evening, hope everybody enjoyed today, at least those participating. I know I did. I will echo one of John's comments. It was chilly up on the top of Bull Run Mountain also. I should have had one additional jacket with me or something there, but we got by. And things went well today, and I'm glad everything worked out. We had a good time, enjoyed it, and we got the payload back, which is always a good thing to do. Did take a little while, I guess, and John and Dave could probably speak more to this than myself, but it landed on private property, and it no one was home, so the owners finally came home, and they were able to talk to them and get permission, but anyway, everything did work out in the end, and things went well. Quick thing for Earl, you can check.
Okay, real fine, Danny. Thanks for the update. Sounds like everybody had a good time. Oh, let's see if Tom is back. WB3AKD, this is AI1V. Are you back, guys? So your comments, please.
Radio's staying up this time. Had an intermittent connection. Had to tighten up there on the power lead. Radio would turn off whenever I keyed, which is annoying. As for the balloon launch, well, it was a beautiful day for one thing. We launched from Harrisonburg, Virginia,
quick question then. So I take it the altitude beacon on the APRS was in meters and not in feet.
Yeah, that's correct. We were at about 300, actually about 390 meters out there in Harrisonburg. So that's about, 1,300 feet or so. And it was clearly going in meters. It worked well. I was happy to have that information and have that much knowledge about the flight. Over.
Okay, real fine. Another quick, how about the velocity? You know, the units from that one?
Well, actually, now I'm not sure. We'll have to check with Mike and see. Over.
Okay, yeah, because when I was copying it today, and I'm looking at the records that got recorded by my software today, both the altitude and velocity were lower than I thought, so. Meters make sense for the altitude. I'm not quite sure what the velocity would be. Okay, very good. Nicely done. Congratulations to all. It sounds like a very very successful day all the way around. Let's see. Steve, you're next. KS1G. This is AI1B with the group. Your comments.
AI1V in the group. KS1G. Yeah, I had fun this morning trying to monitor the copying it within a couple of minutes after the launch, but I basically needed at least one more antenna and maybe another computer than I had here, so I ended up trying to monitor the net and copy packets. And for some strange reason, UIView and my Cantronics never successfully decoded a single packet. Fortunately, I finally realized that I had a APRS decoder in my VX8 and hooked that up to a Arrow antenna on a tripod, and so I could run outside, and that worked great. Unfortunately, I had no way of logging anything, so it was kind of looking at stuff and periodically running downstairs and plotting the last lat long to see where it was winding up, but it was certainly an impressive performance. I'm thinking that the altitude was also in meters because basically nothing else made any sense, especially shortly before touchdown. It was coming in at like 60 over S9, basically pinning the S meter on both the hot chips beacon and the APRS one. So a lot of fun, and hopefully the next time I'll be in better shape to contribute and at least log something. So AI1V in the net, KS1G.
Very good, Steve. Sounds like you had fun. I know it's really cool. Cool the first time I heard a balloon and started tracking it. Yeah, I left some software on to kind of pick it up and then follow it until it went dormant for a while. I logged 215 packets total. And the first one was at an altitude of 4,807 meters, I'm assuming. And the last at 538 meters, which makes sense since it was probably a lot closer. So anyway, I'll try to get that data boiled down and see what it looks like on the plot. I'm sure others will as well. Dave, good evening to you. Nice to hear you on. This is AI1V with the group. Your comments.
AI1V, KE4S, wait one. Okay, we had a great time, as John said. We
started headed back south. Turns out after we left the site is when the bird dropped below about 10 or 15,000 feet, and that's when it started taking off and going east. Not the first time we've seen that kind of behavior. The last couple of balloon launches, if I remember correctly, as it's coming down, we've found that it hits the surface winds when there are any at all or in the area, and takes off and traffic going eastbound. So that's something we need to learn to watch for. Change the subject, I guess. The CQ Worldwide sideband was this weekend, and there were nice 10 and 15 meter openings to the Oceania area yesterday. So I added in some new islands and countries, Thailand and Tanzania, things like that, to my log. Great fun. It's been a busy radio weekend. Back to you, Rick, KE4S.
Okay, Dave, yeah, it sounded like you were all over the radios this weekend. We were, I first picked it up directly in the PRS tracker and headed down Spout Run to the Potomac, and I was still picking up the payload, so that was running some power. Yeah, I'm trying to look at the standards for units on APRS and see what's going on there. Okay, let's see. Ken, you are next up, KJ4GYL. This is AI1V, your comment.
How much to report tonight? Just wanted to check in, listen to everybody.
This is group K5NOV. Yeah, I like the rest of them. Had a great time chasing the balloon. Wish I would have brought another coat, too. It was a little cold out where we were. Got a new friend, W3CUM, Chris. Picked him up in Chantilly this morning before we headed west. He also had a great time. Hopefully he'll join us some more for some other events. I do have a question about the DX contest that Dave was talking about. I was listening to that, and they, after the call sign, they gave, I guess, four digits. I guess the 5 and the 9 were the signal readability, but I didn't know what the other two digits were. Sometimes they were 05, sometimes they were whatever. I don't know if that was the area they were in or what. Maybe next round somebody could answer that. That's about it for now. Back to you, Rick.
Okay, real fine, Luther. Nice to hear you on. And under APR's data units, it says, quote, for historical reasons, there is some lack of consistency between units of data and APRS packets. Some speeds are in knots, others in miles per hour. Some altitudes are in feet, others are in meters, and so on. It is emphasized the specification describes units of data as they are transmitted on air. It is the responsibility of the APRS application to convert the on-air units more suitable units if required. Of course, it doesn't say how to do that since there's no consistency in the data. Okay, well, that's cool. I guess you just converted all the possible units it could be and spit them out that way. Sean, good evening to you, AI4ID. This is AI1V, your comment.
AI1V in the group, this is AI4ID. First, I'm mobile. How's my signal into the repeater?
Full quieting, 100% copy.
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun last year, and I think more this year, but it just didn't work out with work. But I did last night throw together an Excel spreadsheet because I wanted to get an idea of where the balloon was going to come down. I used some weather prediction stuff. I actually have a bunch of questions I wanted to ask for answers during the second round. What was the actual ascent and descent rate? I was wondering also, Dave, how close, or Tom, how close your prediction software put the track as far as where the balloon actually landed. And on Dave, on the recovery, I was wondering how on the winds east at the bottom. When I put this together, the spreadsheet together with Excel, I was entering the winds manually from some of the prediction winds aloft easterly, if not the southeasterly wind, down below 10,000 feet at the launch site, and it's probably was that way up here, too. I'll wait for answers in the second round. This is AI4ID back to net.
Okay, Shawnee, I'll also get that stuff filled in on the next time through. Bob, great to hear you on as usual. KJ4NXG, it's AI1V. How are you this evening?
Hi there, Rick, and fellow LARG members, etc. Doing great. I didn't get a chance to participate with this launch, but I did get on the air at 11 a.m. just to see if I could pick up the signal from the balloon, and it just about knocked my radio off the dashboard. And then at one point, I guess Denny was had lost contact with Mission Control, and I quite didn't understand. He said he was in Berryville, and he was coming in loud and clear, and I'm in Round Hill, so his signal somehow jumped over that mountain to me. So,
okay, Bob. Yeah, I've had that happen before as well. I've actually worked people, you know, off the rest and repeater that are out in Berryville, so there's something strange goes on there. Probably some weird phenomenon of mountain weather, the DARPA weather experiment or weather control project. Must be that. Must be something like that. Eric, nice to hear you on KD5CTJ. This is AI1V. Your comments, please.
Rick and everyone on the net, KD5CTJ. Not a lot to report. Yesterday I was in class all day, and looking forward to finishing up the MBA come the May time frame. But other than that, not, like I said, not a whole lot. Got to get up about 0400 tomorrow morning to head on down to job site. So I'll probably cut this short, but great to hear so many people on the AI1B,
KD5, CTJ. Hey, Eric, real good. Well, yeah, we had 16 people check in on the first round tonight, so see if we had any more after we hear from Dale, K3CN. AI1B, how are you this evening, Dale?
You're working on the repeater. And I'm listening critically tonight, and I don't hear any false loading hardly at all. It's really sounding great, and congratulations to Tom and Denny and Dave for the excellent description of the balloon launch. I found it extremely interesting. I'm glad they launched and the recovery went well. That's it for me, AI1B, K3CNO.
Okay, Dale. Yeah, just as you said that, there was a little bit false voting going on there.
For Bob, the Mission Control was in Berryville, and we were over across the street from the fairgrounds next to the high school in the park. The antenna was about 25 feet high, so maybe that will answer your question. One thing I'm going to be very interested in is to see the information from 11 o'clock to about 11:15. That's where everything really went haywire at Mission Control. With that, everyone have a great week. Great talking to you. Hope to be on next week or if I get home in time. Back to you, Rick, AI1V. This is KI4TXT.
Yeah, real good, Jay. Well, I've got many, many packets recorded during that period of time, so. Yeah, from 11:03, I got all the way down to, well through 11:15, with at least a couple of packets a minute on that. So, I'll try to get this in some kind of digestible form. Right now it's kind of a generic, monitor packet format, which is probably good enough, I guess. Let's see, don't lose track of where I am, WA4TXE, Dave. Your comments. This is AI1V. Anything else for the net?
Well, good evening again, Nat. AI1V in the group, WA4TXC, Charlestown. I'm on the fixed station now. A couple of comments. I had been monitoring the satellite correction balloon launch, and who knows, maybe next year we can do a UHF downlink with a data conversion to the repeater to get give folks that are just tuning in a, you know, an audible altitude readout from the thing. I would have no objection whatsoever to tying it into the repeater temporarily during that. Secondarily, Dale and folks, if you back off on your microphones just a little bit, we did readjust the audio on the repeater, and it might be just a little bit too hot. That is why the voter on deviation peaks, it's doing that. So I've got one more trip to make at it, but the audio, if you recall from the last session, there was rather major discrepancies between remote and local channels. So all the remote levels are the same now, plus or minus a fraction. So just on this round, folks, if you just give your microphone a little bit of space, I think you'll find that the audio won't sound quite as basic, but I will readjust that next time around. So with that back to net, AI-1V, congratulations on a great job this weekend. WA4TXE, Charlestown.
Yeah, real fine day. Well, I was just involved in the balloon. I spent all day starting around 3 this morning down to Marine Corps Marathon supporting that. And that went quite well, although my particular assignment kept me there till after 5 p.m., so it was a very long day. But it was fun to watch the APRS, the situation awareness stuff. It was very cool. Had me in my vehicle along with one of the Blue Force Tracker units that military uses. And I think we kept up very well, probably at considerable less cost, and no geosynchronous satellites involved. So it was kind of a neat juxtaposition of those two technologies. Fun to watch. KI-4 IEO, Chuck, anything else for the net? This is AI-1V.
AI-1V in a group, this is KI-4 IEO. No, nothing else. I'm interested in seeing the pictures or the stats from the...
Let's see, WB3AKD AI-1V with a group.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I was sitting here trying to decide if I had any bootloaders still on either of any of these boards. But, let's see. In terms of velocity, it had to be miles per hour or knots because the values we were getting, 120 in meters, would be too slow, and meters or in kilometers wouldn't probably be right either. So chances are it's miles an hour. It was certainly consistent with the speed of the miles per hour. Would certainly make it consistent with observed jet stream winds. So that's probably what that was about. We did note, Sean, we did note some southeasterly travel, then, you know, visually, then some easterly travel, and finally it started moving north. So, but they weren't very strong. It only went a few miles south before it started hooking around back to the north. And I'm a little fried myself, so I can't remember any of the other questions. It looks like these boards are still available, though, so I can probably get a replacement and save it as a backup bootloader for all these other cards. So that's about it. That's about it from Mountain Day, or Rick, WB3AKD.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, I just brought up the documentation package for that payload, so I'll continue to browse it as we go through. Maybe I'll be able to answer that. My guess is that the azimuth or the course information was probably in true degrees true. Just amazing that we ever get anything done with all these different units and references. Okay, let's see. Buddy, you're next up. Anything else on that? K4CJV, this is AI-1V.
Nothing to add, just except to congratulate the launch crew and the HOT team. So, good job. Sounds like done by all. So, maybe one of these days I'll get to join you guys. So, once again, congratulations. Back to you, Rick, K4CJP.
Okay, 7-3, buddy. Nice to hear you on. Talk to you again next week. John, WB5ODJ, anything to add for the net? This is AI-1V. good. Yeah, I was moving inside, in and out side of the operation center tent this morning, and it's too warm inside and too cold outside, so I just kept moving back and forth and kind of averaged things out. Yeah, it doesn't, I'd taken one screen through this documentation. It doesn't ever tell you what units that are it's using. But we can probably infer from the plotting of the stuff. Let's see, Denny, you're next. Anything else on that KF4TJI, one thing?
Yeah, Rick, I want to take advantage here in the second round to thank everyone that helped out with the launch and mission control and tracking. Certainly need lots of help and to be able to do this, so it's nice to have everybody there. I had Tom in A4M, seen Tom for a while since he moved down to Manassas. He doesn't make it up into Loudoun County too often, so that was nice also. And let's see, yeah, a comment on attenuation. I think before we got our very first reading, I had to add attenuation in. Started out with only about 5 and went up, but through most of the flight was running between 20 and 30 dB of attenuation just to bring it down so we could get readings and tell directions. Although I think from what I can see right now that I had something going on because I'm pretty sure my readings are off more than I would like for them to be. So something to see if I can figure out later. And I can't remember who made the comment about me being in Berryville, but there was some misunderstanding there. I was on top of Bull Run Mountain. Mission Control was out in Berryville, so that may have something to do with why they could hear me, but it went very well. So hope everybody has a good week, and I'll say 7-3. AI-1V, this is KF4-TJI.
Okay, Denny. Real fine. Well, great job today as usual. Thanks for paying up on the ball and running with that. It means a lot to the club to have folks who would like you that pitch in and herd the cats. Sounds like it was a real effective operation. And I did finally find that confirmation that the altitude is transmitted in meters above sea level. So I got that down, but I don't see anything on velocity. Let's see, anything else for the net? Steve, KS1G, this is AI1V with the group.
AI1V in the group, KS1G. Yeah, the numbers that my VX8 were displaying made sense if they were in miles per hour, and I was trying to figure out the, because otherwise the altitudes just looked like they were way too low, and I guess that means that the last packet I copied, which looks like it might, looking at the Google Maps overhead, might not have been too far from where it actually wound up. It was at about 1,300 feet above sea level, 449 meters. But yeah, congratulations to all, and a heck of a lot of fun participating from home. For people who have not had enough fun yet with balloon tracking, a friend of mine who's involved with a school group up in Maryland and the Goddard Space Club site, they've been trying to get a balloon launch off for a couple of weeks, and they keep getting hit by weather, and apparently they don't have as much flexibility as Tom does about when they do their launches. So they're trying to go again this coming Saturday, and if you go to the website, it's popcom/simsat, S-I-M-S-A-T, /4, or you just do a web search for SimSat 4, and it'll bring you to it. And right now they're planning on going on next Saturday from up in Skiesville, Maryland. And I don't think they have a GPS on this mission. They do have a telemetry sensor that'll be sending modulated CW on UHF, I believe. And yeah, there's no GPS on this one, so I guess I'll have to go looking for it the hard way, like Higher Guys did. So anyway, that's all I have to add, and I guess, Rick, at some point I'm going to have to ask you some questions about using the AGW packet engine system, because, I don't know, UIView doesn't seem to be cutting it for me, but that can be at another time. Back to that, this is KS1G.
Steve, real fine. Yeah, I'll be glad to talk to you about that. You're probably thinking of AGW Tracker. That's the equivalent to UIView. Actually, UIView can use the AGW packet engine instead of connecting directly to the radio or the TNC. You can use the packet engine in its place. I've run it both ways. But yeah, anytime. Maybe next meeting or something, we can chat. Okay, Dave. Anything else for the group? I don't know. I don't remember if you had questions directed to you or not, but if you did, maybe you have some answers. K4S, this is AI1B.
Well, I think Luther had a question. He wanted to know what the exchange was on the contest. You're right. The first two digits, 5-9, were the RS. The second two digits were the CQ zone. The world is divided into 40 zones, and you can Google and find out exactly where those are. So that was the second half of the exchange. Beyond that, not much to add. Had a great time this weekend. I don't think I'll go out and chase the SimSat next weekend, though. It'll be time to catch up on some sleep. Back to you, Rick, KE4S.
So good, Dave, and I meant to comment that your audio is really nice tonight, so you're probably getting into the main repeater site, I'm not sure which, but your audio is often low, but it sounds very, very clear and plenty of volume tonight, so thought I'd pass that along. Okay, Ken, you're next on the list. Anything else for the net? KJ4GYL, this is AI1B.
AI1B, and the rest of that, nothing else. Again, congratulations to everybody on their success this week. Congratulations to you on what was obviously a very long day for you, helping with the marathon. So, everybody have a great week. KJ4GYL.
Yeah, there were over 100 hams that helped out at that effort today. It's just an amazing effort that they put together. I recommend people to do that at least once. Just to see what logistics done heavy is like, because there's a lot of logistics involved, not just for the hands, but for the whole shebang. The Marines really bust their tails. They put a lot into it. Okay, Luther, hopefully you got your question answered. K5NOB, this is AI1V. Anything else for the net?
Surprised how late it dropped, but it would make sense from the time it took off. We 9 a.m. launch, and I was still sleeping at 9 a.m. And then we sat up at Home Depot and listened to the recovery up here in Leesburg. So thanks a lot, guys, for all that. And next year, I hope I will be able to participate a little bit more. And good to hear everybody. 7-3, this is AI-4ID, back to net.
Okay, real good, Sean. Sounds like you had a fun time. Great to share that with your kids, too. Nice job. Bob, yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. Well, not really surprised, but gratified to be able to copy the balloon so far away. I think my first fix that I got was as a crow's fly path of well over 50 miles by the time the thing got up to around 1,500 feet. So did a... It was really, it wasn't 1,500 feet, it was a lot higher. What that kind of altitude does at those frequencies, you really don't need much power at all. KJ4NXG, anything else for the net? This is AI1V. Okay, Doug, real fine. Nice signal, and thanks for checking in, and we'll get you down on the list. Anybody else for a last-minute check-in?
Would you take a quick recheck, Rick?
Oh, I guess I could be coerced. Is that you, Dave? WA4TXE, AI1V.
Yeah, WA4TXE. Rick, and if there anyone else is still on frequency when the net is closed, I'd just like to run a quick position on stations that are left on frequency just so I can get some idea of how the voter is working and the receivers. So with that, back to net, AI1V in the group, WA4TXE.
Okay, real fine. And I am, I left it on high power, so I've been running 50 watts from Reston with about... 40 feet. Anybody else that's left on, give Dave, WA4TXE, a call with your position to help him get the repeater footprint nailed down. Okay, this has been the Loud and Amateur Radio Group weekly on-air meeting, and if my tongue continues, I'll be able to close the net. Anybody wishing to find out more about LARG and our many activities are welcome to visit www.k4lrg.org. Thanks to everybody for their participation, and a special thanks to you, Dave, WA4TXE, for the use of the repeater, which is now returned to normal use. This is AI1V, and I will be clear.